Here at Rhode Island. My focus is the people here.
I don't make anybody happy.
John DePietro on 1540 WADK.
Mr. DePietro, who is in the eye of the storm.
Suddenly, John DePietro became the story.
Radio talk show host John DePietro.
Is Providence crime town?
Most definitely.
Most definitely is right. Folks, joining us right now, he is the managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. It's Justin Katz. Good afternoon, Justin.
Good afternoon, John.
Well, yesterday was an unusual day, special election to fill the seat that was vacated by Senate President Teresa Pivoweed, and the winner of a margin, basically 60 to 40. I know there's some question with some mail ballots that are out, but when you look at some of the districts, but very far-left progressive Dawn Hoyer defeated Republican Mike Smith. I have some thoughts on it. I'd like to start by hearing yours.
Well, I think one thing to keep in mind is this was actually a pretty typical result. Somewhere around one-fifth of people voted who were eligible. That's not unusual for an off-season election. The Democrat won 60%, also not unusual in Rhode Island. What wasn't really typical, though, was the amount of money that Dawn Hoyer spent. Between her and Planned Parenthood, we're talking over $30,000 for this election, in just the general, not counting the primary that she had to run against Democrats. So it wasn't that unusual an outcome, and a lot of money spent. And one thing that continues to fascinate me, if you read some of the comments that Dawn Hoyer made, in, for example, today's Newport Daily News, she almost sounds conservative, concerned with small businesses,
yep,
and, you know, helping the economy. And so you have Planned Parenthood out there pushing out with, you know, $16,000 worth of direct mailing, pushing out a base of support in an off-season election, which is the key to an off-season election. And at the same time, she's kind of soft-pedaling her progressive views to the general public. And I think that's probably what made it happen. But again, not an atypical outcome, not something that we shouldn't have expected, you know, if things were just operating by normal Rhode Island standards.
Well, it's interesting, Justin, because this is a seat that Planned Parenthood has eyed for quite some time. Senate President Teresa Pivoweed, agree or disagree, but she was very staunchly pro-life, as is the current Senate President, Don Ruggiero. So Planned Parenthood viewed this as an opportunity. They've been waiting for this. Because of her power as the Senate President, they never ran anyone against her. But you're really starting to see this with the progressives. In the progressives in the Democrat Party, and that to me is where the battle is. Unfortunately, in many times right now in Rhode Island, it's not with the Republicans, it's with the progressives. The progressives have this attitude that you can't be a Democrat if you are pro-life. And they, to me, Planned Parenthood was not going to miss this opportunity to really try to grab that seat. And that was one of the reasons, I think, why they were so aggressive about it. The primary, where Pivoweed, the person she endorsed, he also, you know, is pro-life. They, from what I understand, they're more fearful of Dawn Hoyer winning this than they would have been of Republican Mike Smith, because they felt, all right, if Smith wins, you know, we can run against him and take him out, because then you have to run for the seat again all over again next fall. But the progressives are very difficult to take out, and I think you're right. If you just listen to the comments, she sounds like someone very, you know, middle of the road, mainstream, common sense, when the progressive agenda, as you know, is anything but. I mean, they're not just in favor of this whole business of paid sick leave. They want to increase it, and it should be $15 minimum wage. And I mean, as you know, the progressive agenda at the Rhode Island State House, led by, you know, Maura Walsh and Aaron Ruggenberg and Teresa Tanzi, They're not a passive group. They are a mounting force within the Democrat Party right now.
Right, and I think one of the things they've recently started doing that has the more establishment Democrats nervous is that they're acting almost like a special interest, sort of like the labor unions have long done. Democrats in Rhode Island fear the union-backed primary challenge, and I think that the progressives are starting to play by that playbook, which means basically they have to do two things. Anything that riles their base, they have to make that uncompromising position. So we're seeing nationally Democrats, progressive Democrats, saying you cannot be in this party if you are pro-life.
Right.
We are anti-life party. That's it. End of story. So you see that, and you see them downplaying anything where they're weak with the public, like economic development. So, it's starting to pop up all over the place. Like, recently I heard Teresa Tanzi on I think it was Rhode Island Public Radio, and she was somebody, Ian Donis asked her, well, do you think the budget's gotten too big over the past 10 years? And she actually said yes.
Huh.
Of course, she then tried to skirt that and say, well, we're giving too much money to private companies to run contracts.
Oh,
but
goodness.
She didn't actually mean, but she was willing to go out and say yes when we know absolutely there's no indication that any progressive in Rhode Island has any view other than the budget should be as big as it possibly can be.
So I think that's
starting to be their clear play, and it's going to be difficult, as you just noted, that for the establishment Democrats to figure out a way through this without actually starting to draw the distinction between themselves and the progressives, which might make them vulnerable if the Republicans can get a bit more of their feet under them.
That is the biggest fear, from what I understand in talking to people up at the Rhode Island State House, is deal making that's going on with the progressives. It's not. In the past, the deal-making of trying to get someone not to run against them in a primary or even a Republican, it's the fearful of the progressive running against them. And one of the issues that it really breaks down on is the issue of pro-life. You know, Mary Ellen Goodwin, she is, you know, very fearful of the progressives, that they would run someone against her. She was very tight with Paiva Weed. You know, Dominic Ruggiero, as I said, is pro-life. I believe McCaffrey is. It is a line in the sand with the progressives. It's interesting, Justin, that in their world, you cannot be on the same page with them if you're, you know, what is so interesting to me is these are the people that claim that the other side is intolerant, and they talk about diversity and tolerance. If you are not on board with them as far as pro-choice, and I mean as far extreme pro-choice as possible, They cannot reconcile that in their mind, and you might as well be a conservative Republican, because they want to take you out and they want to go after you, and you know they will run someone against you. So I think now, also just getting back to, you know, the race that took place, I think I think Mike Smith, you know, we know he put his heart and soul into it. They worked very, very hard. It's very, very effective. But as you look at some of the numbers, and What's Up Newport had a picture of some of the numbers, and I'm just looking at some of the precincts. You know, at Thompson Middle School, Dawn Hoyer got 132 votes, and you had Mike Smith got 34. I mean, that is getting clobbered by almost 100 votes. At the Newport Library, she got 215, he got 130. Again, almost 100 vote difference. When you're talking about a race where it's a couple hundred votes, I just wonder if he had run as an independent instead of running as a Republican, if maybe you're going to lose the precinct, but maybe you lose it, maybe you just don't lose it as badly. Is that what I mean? Because I think, Justin, there are parts of the state and other parts of New England where it's Red Sox and Yankees. It's people that I've never voted for a Republican. I will never vote for a Republican. And I do see some of the people that have run as an independent, and they've had success, like Ed O'Neill and Senator in North Providence and into Lincoln, and then you have Representative Blake Filippi. I'd love your thoughts on that.
Well, that's going to vary quite a bit, mainly on the candidate, I think. I mean, if you look at the numbers, it was, you know, significant 60-40 blowout. But on the other hand, we're talking about a 687 or so vote margin out of almost 19,000 registered voters. So it seems to me rather than trying to figure out, and if you look also, the independent on the right with the more libertarian candidate in this race didn't gather, it's not as if that was the difference in the margin.
No, not in any way. And she was a very impressive candidate, by the way. I mean, military experience, if you listen to her, she you know, could have a future if she could find the right race you have to win. Maybe it was a little bit of a stretch trying to go for the Senate, and then, you know, I think going through your first campaign, but that did not slow down the momentum. But it is incredible the amount of money that Planned Parenthood pumped into this race.
Right. But I think what might happen is in a local race, especially if you know of a group, say a group of conservative Democrats, whether they're called Democrats or they just happen to be, it's the Knights of Columbus or something, and you happen to know they're all Democrats, and you can get a big chunk of them if you don't have the Republican label. That would make the difference. But in general, I think what rather than gaming the party system like that, we'd be better off if we've all seen what's happened in the past few governor's races with all the independent candidates. But if the local candidates would figure out the messaging and come up with the message that tells their base and anybody, even if you're a Republican, anybody who's a relatively conservative Democrat, what they stand to lose if they don't come out on a sunny summer afternoon and go vote. There are things. If you look at the numbers from the 2000 to 2010 census, you could see an exodus of what I call productive class people. That's people who aren't wealthy. They're trying to turn their work into money. And that kind of demographic, so say lower middle class, working class, left Newport and that area. And then they didn't go far. They went into the surrounding areas, Bristol, Tiverton, North Kingstown, because there's no opportunity. So you can find that message. It's there. It's just a matter of putting in the time to really hone it and message it and get that word out there.
There's also a little bit, and again, folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. We're speaking with the managing editor of OceanStateCurrent.com, Justin Katz. I believe I did see a little bit of controversy. Again, Justin, you know, this early voting that goes on with these absentee ballots, and I think I saw on Twitter, I'd have to double check, but there was someone that was a campaign worker that notarized 200 ballots. Now, again, you know, that is very reminiscent of the Mattiello situation where they go and it's almost as if that they're kind of filling out the ballot for the person and making it easier. And I'm just trying to get a handle on whether or not, if you're on the losing side, is this something that both sides need to do, or is this something that should be stopped altogether? I mean, that's really what defeated Steve Freies with the, you know, losing by 75, 85 votes, whatever it was. It was not that he didn't get his people out the day of the election to vote. It was all that, quote, absentee early, whatever they want to call it, but it's people filling out a ballot. It's not even the mail ballot. It's ahead of time, and there is something to it. You had that guy that was known in Cranston as the Ballot King, and he used to work for CNC back in the day, and they brought him in for the Mattiello race, and they go around and they stand right there as you're filling it out, and there was the woman in Cranston that said, as she started to check off Steve Freies, the guy that said, no, you're supposed to check off the other one. I mean, when this type of stuff is going on once, I highly doubt it's impossible. It's not going on more than once is what I think I mean to say.
Oh yeah, and if you look at, I would need to dig into it more, but if you look at Don Eyer's campaign finance, she had a lot of relatively small expenditures for campaign consultants and things like that, which could be people going around collecting these ballots. Now, as to whether people should. Whether the other side, Republicans or others, should try to emulate this method, and that comes down to a moral question. I'd prefer to avoid doing that, just as on ethical grounds. But one thing I find funny in this area of inquiry is Nelly Gorbea, the Secretary of State, recently stated the best way. I don't believe there's a lot of fraud, but the best way to end fraud is to dilute it by getting more people to vote. Well, not when your plan to get more people to vote makes fraud more likely.
Right.
And that's where we're headed with all of these mail ballots and automatic registration.
Yep.
And now you're automatically registered. Somebody comes, knocks on your door, says, here's your mail ballot. Fill it out. Oh, not that person, the other one. And there you go. You get your same person to notarize every one of them. Now, there may be nothing here. Maybe just this one notary is very popular and well-known. But it does start to look suspicious, and to the extent that it decreases confidence in our electoral system, it does a whole lot of harm.
Yeah, and not only that, Justin, but let's be honest. I mean, as much as it's sealed, how many people really think, or that there's a sneaking suspicion that they're going to open it and know who they voted for? And much like when they have, you know, they send out the survey in the workplace and they ask the people to, you know, fill out the survey anonymously, and it's not going to come back. People don't trust the system that way. People don't trust that it will be kept private, whether it be their vote or how they fill out a survey. Many times this happens with pollsters, even though they're having a tougher time to track people down because less people answer their landline. But people somehow feel that they are, in fact, recording them. They know who they are. They know where they live. They're afraid to actually speak their mind. It's tough to overcome that. And more to your point about Nelly Gorbea, you know, the headline in the Providence Journal from yesterday, pro-Benz with no charges of voter fraud. I mean, as much as they say the fines and it's a felony and all this other stuff, I mean, I think you and I could drive to the ACI, and if we found the warden, A.T. Wall, and said, could you take us to the cell where the people that were guilty of voter fraud are being held, I mean, he would laugh at us. Unless there's real teeth in that, it's seemingly, you know, no one has ever... It's like you. I find it impossible to believe that it doesn't go on and no one is involved in it. But when I see headlines like this, pro-Benz with no charges of voter fraud, I don't know. Mayor Fung seemed to lay it out exactly for them that there were people that voted twice. There were voted people that, as Ken Block exposed, there were people that were voting that didn't have a Social Security number, and the Attorney General's office, you know, becomes the chief of police in Casablanca. So we're going to ask Justin just to hold on, folks, for just a quick moment. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. We're going to come back and speak with Justin Katz, again, managing editor of OceanStateCurrent.com. But, folks, on this Wednesday, I want to remind you, you know, everyone is raving, and I received the nicest email from people that had a delicious meal at Sam's Inn. Sam's Inn, located 2227 West Shore Road in Warwick. You can call them at 737-6073, 737-6073. It's Sam's Inn, located 2227 West Shore Road in Warwick. Remember, at Sam's Inn, daily lunch special is just $6.95. Remember, free salad bar with any entree. Every meal is cooked to order at Sam's Inn. And what a menu they have. Now, first of all, Sam's Inn, you walk in, they have live entertainment to the left in the lounge, and then to the right is the dining room, and then they even have a private party room. But it's Sam's Inn. Try the Baked Stuffed Quahogs, or the Clams Casino, or maybe the Sam Burger, or the Blue Burger. Sam's Inn, ravioli with meatballs, pasta with meatballs, delicious steaks. How about the linguine with clam sauce, or the broiled sea scallops? Sam's Inn. Sam Curry has done it again. Kimberly and Pam and Sam the Man. Daily lunch special, $6.95 at Sam's Inn. Folks, stop in and see them. You can also order takeout online at samsinri.com. Sam's Inn. There they are, West Shore Road in Warwick. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. We're going to come back with more. On this Wednesday, we'll speak more with Justin Katz.
In this tight labor market, finding new employees can be tough. Whether you're the business owner or an HR professional, you want access to highly qualified candidates fast. More than 3 million businesses use Indeed.com, the world's number one job site. Whether you need entry-level or highly skilled employees, no matter the industry, with Indeed, you get immediate access to a high-quality pool of talent with no long-term contracts or upfront fees. For a limited time, Indeed is offering new users a $50 credit to make their first job listing a sponsored job with premium visibility so more candidates will see it. You want to make a great hire fast, and this exclusive offer gives you a head start. Independent research shows 6 times more hires are delivered through Indeed than any other job site, making Indeed your one-stop source for hiring. To redeem this offer, go to Indeed.com/offer. That's Indeed.com/offer. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Well, how about that headline? Rhode Island is checking water for chemical contamination. Did you see this, folks? I saw it on the Channel 12 website. Rhode Island's begun checking water systems for chemicals that have contaminated water at sites nationwide, and especially now. So this is the State Department of Health and Brown University are partnering to check more than 30 water systems across Rhode Island for these chemicals that cause cancer and illness. Folks, I'm also proud to report on this Wednesday that our friend Steve at Water Filter Company, he is reaching out to Brown University and the Department of Health. He's reaching out to help them with this study. I called Water Filter Company. I don't know how else to explain it to you. We're in the middle of a crisis right now. Rhode Island is on the verge of becoming Flint, Michigan. Call Water Filter Company today, 294-2400. I had Water Filter Company, the water filter installed in our home. Folks, you notice immediately a difference in the drinking water. Now, they also have the E3 system. E3 system, and that affects all the water in your home. Now, I received this email from Karen in Newport that said, "Dear John, thank you so much for telling us about the Water Filter Company. You know, for the past year, our whole family has felt sluggish. We weren't sure what it was. I also noticed I started to break out into different rashes. There was also something odd about the taste of our food. And then I called Steve at your suggestion of Water Filter Company. We had the E3 system installed in our home. Suddenly, my entire family feels better. My rash has gone away. I also notice even our pet, our dog, is better. Folks, call Steve at Water Filter Company today." Karen also writes, "Even the clothes smell cleaner." 294-2400. Now, we spoke with Steve just the other day. Folks, he's the expert. I don't know what more information you need. Right now, Brown University, Department of Health, are studying Rhode Island for different contamination in the water.
These little, you know, little things like that, or they make the water taste great, and they may do a little bit to knock down toxins, but if you really understand what it takes to get rid of contaminants in the water, they're pretty much toys.
Folks, call Steve at Water Filter Company, and you see the building right there on Route 4, 294-2400. And Steve, when someone calls 294-2400 and they say, "I want to change my life, I want to change my household, I want that E3 system, I want Steve from Water Filter Company," what are the types of things that you're going to explain to them or they're going to learn by meeting with you or your representatives?
First of all, we're really thrilled about this E3 system. We've been messing around with this for a couple of years, and a lot of companies might sell something similar to it, but it's a cookie-cutter thing where they just take it out of a box and they kind of shove it in, and it's a one-size-fits-all approach, and it usually doesn't work well. We've pretty much tailored it to match individual applications, which is what we've been known for when we were selling the traditional systems, and we still sell the traditional systems because when you get a water chemistry report, that report is going to dictate which one will benefit you the best to solve your water problem and give you the water quality you need. So the first thing we're going to ask you is to get a professional water test done. And one of the things we'd like to see you do is use a professional state-certified laboratory, because you don't really want to have somebody out there testing the water that just sticks a couple of testings in there and says, "Yep, you got iron, you need this." You know, you really want to get some good numerical things with some professional equipment. And from that point on, we can guide you as to what's right for you for your individual application.
Folks, give Steve a call today. Water Filter Company, 294-2400.
He tells it like it is. He's John DePietro on 1540 WADK.
All right, and we're back on this Wednesday. With us, managing editor of OceanStateCurrent.com, it's our friend Justin Katz. Hey, Justin, it was interesting to read, kind of depressing in a way, but Providence Journal yesterday about these court magistrates. Boy, what a shock. There you have a former, obviously very plugged in, and very, you know, known and certainly made a name for himself. But former rep, Patrick O'Neill of Pawtucket, he's one of the people that is suddenly former House Majority Whip named magistrate, Patrick O'Neill. You also have Iannazzi out of Cranston. You know, this is still $148,000 a year for the state court magistrate. Doesn't have to be approved through the Senate. If this is not more of the same of the I know a guy type system, then I don't know what is.
Oh, yeah, this is, well, there are so many examples of what's wrong with Rhode Island's corrupt government system that it's hard to say this is the key one that shows you everything you need to know, but it's pretty close. I mean, two out of three of the magistrates that have been noted as being appointed are replacing other people who went on from magistrate to become an actual judge. So
yes,
it's just a stepping stone.
It is.
One of them was the former Senate President Montalbano, but the Iannazzi family really kind of solidifies this. Andrea Iannazzi is the sister of Steve Iannazzi, who a few years back was appointed very controversially to work for now Senate President Dominic Ruggiero, who works in a laborers union with their father, Donald Ionazzi.
Yep.
So it doesn't take much effort to see how this creates this system. And to me, the biggest thing, I think there might be some Senate approval, not really a review, a public review, but at least they have to say, yeah, that's fine, which keeps their hand in it. But the thing about this is it's not the governor appointing these magistrates. It's the judges themselves. And the big problem with that is it gives the judges incentive to play a little bit of the political game, where you want to at least pretend your judiciary is independent. So you have the governor nominate and the Senate approve a judge. That way the judges they can't buy any favors really by appointing people or giving rulings that kind of buy them some favor with the legislature or the governor. But this whole system corrupts that entirely.
It does. And Justin, let's face it, if you and I are attorneys and we walk into the courtroom and now it would be judge magistrate, you know, Patrick O'Neill is sitting up on the bench, and across from us, who we're, you know, litigating against, is one of the attorneys who happens to be a representative at the State House, and they give that nod to each other. Come on, we know that it's, you know, it's like trying to get a foul called on the home team court when you're on the road in the NBA. Like, this is... To me, this is like the worst part of the system. And another part about this that you mentioned is how the judges, you know, kind of make the call. I find it hard to believe that they're operating in a vacuum. This reminds me of, you know, you're a bunch of kids and it's like, all right, let's play a game. And everybody lines up on the playground. And then I say, I'm going to take Harry. And then you say, all right, then I pick Charlie. And then they all come and stand behind me. It's like everybody starts to kind of get their pick a little bit. I mean, there's nothing... Fear. I see why, you know, the very competent attorneys that we have in the state, and there are some, that refuse to play the political game, that they just get very frustrated with the process.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And think of it too. I don't want to overstate it, but there can be a kind of a sense of fear in the public when your judges are so political. So take Patrick O'Neill, for example. I don't think I wrote very much negative about him, maybe a few things, but if I had, and now if I have some kind of a case that goes before him, or President Montalbano,
yeah,
former president, I mean, at that point, you have to, when you know people are inside and connected, you have to start really watching yourself, because you don't know what grudges they may hold someday. I can only imagine if House Speaker Mattiello becomes a judge at some point.
Oh my goodness!
what might he remember that you and I said,
yeah,
on the air? You know,
yes,
while we have a case before him, and so that creates the knowledge that there is this corrupt system. I mean, and I'm sure you've bumped into people involved with legal matters, whether they're lawyers or activists of some kind, their biggest advice on any case, particularly having to do with government, is get it in a federal court.
Yep.
Because the state courts, you just can't trust to call the balls and the strikes in an even way. And this definitely contributes to that.
Yeah, you have it with, I don't know how much court time that Mattiello does, but, you know, this was very common when John Harwood was the speaker, that opposing attorneys would say, well, you know, what kind of hearing is this going to be when the judge is referring to him as Mr. Speaker? So, and I remember a rep that was on finance in the House and, you know, appears in front of the judge, and the judge requests to see the attorney in chambers, and he's thinking, you know, what did I file a brief that was wrong, something like that, and all the judges would do is pepper him with questions on, are you guys going to touch the pension? You guys better not touch the pensions on the judges. That's all they cared about. And there's no way that this can't, you know, or how you could feel that justice is being done. And let's just say, you know, you're a Republican, and someday if it was Judge Mattiello and he's sitting up there, well, if he rules against you, did he rule against you because that was the proper legal ruling, or did he rule against you because, you know, you spoke up on the floor and spoke out against him on some procedural matter or on a vote or on a bill or something like that? It is such a corrupting process. And that's why, you know, it was interesting. They were all gung-ho on former Rep. Tim Williamson becoming a judge. And the running joke up there was they were all going to try to request to get in front of him. I mean, it would be, talk about like a rigged game. And then that, you know, fortunately was shot down. But I spoke with two different attorneys that said, you know, what's the point when you have insiders like that that continue to get those types of, you know, appointments? I remember when now Judge Montalbano, but when he was first appointed to that, and his quote was, "I can't thank Teresa," meaning Teresa Pivoweed, "enough. She moved mountains to make this happen." You know, I said, what exactly is going on that she'd move mountains to make this happen? It should have been, you know, I followed the process, and I'm glad they found me. Instead, you know, what favors were called in to make this happen? But as you know, there's rumors that she wants to be a judge. I mean, it always seems to filter into that system, Justin.
Oh, yeah. That's the speculation with her as well. But and you bring up the Republican versus Democrat thing, and we talked earlier about the chance of a Republican winning in Newport. You have to wonder how much support they don't get, because who's going to back Republicans when they can't control this pipeline? So if you ever want to be a judge, you essentially have to donate to Democrats and be in with the Democrats, because they're going to play this game and move mountains to get you in there.
Yeah.
So the whole system is just a corrupt way to do government.
Yeah. You know, again, folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. We're speaking with the managing editor for MotionStateCurrent.com. It's Justin Katz. Justin, Governor Raimondo was able to now go ahead with this whole Rhode Island promise, and she's got ads of I saw an ad of a woman who said, you know, this is incredible and it's changing the family, that her daughter can go to CCRI for free. I know that it's supposed to be a public service announcement for CCRI. I saw it online, but, boy, it sure seems like a campaign commercial for Governor Raimondo. It's a woman standing there saying, as a result of Governor Raimondo and the Rhode Island promise, her daughter will now be able to attend CCRI the way she did. I find that the Raimondo people are really, if not over the line, coming very, very close with this. Well, you know, we're doing this as you know, CCRI is going to spread the word that now that there's free tuition offered, and we need to alert the public and make sure people know about this. But boy, every time she's in the ad or there's someone talking about her, this to me seems that they are very, very close to the line where how is this not a campaign commercial? And I don't know if you've had a chance to see it, but it's a woman talking, and boy, this is such a game changer for our family. I still maintain, based on, and I don't know a lot about this woman, they don't offer it, but most people, you know, that we heard, there are a lot of people that were going to CCRI because of different grants and things like that. It's not that expensive. They were practically going for free in the first place. So it seems to just, you know, to me it comes off like a political commercial.
Yeah, and I think actually, if we're thinking of the same one, I think that video was actually part of the governor's regular gubernatorial address videos, and I hadn't seen any that she had actually done in the past. But I think they were billing it as a substitute for this on this edition of the governor's commentary. Somebody other than the governor is going to talk.
Yes,
and in that regard, it does. It seems very much like why is this person I didn't elect? Well, not that I voted for Governor Raimondo anyway, but this person who wasn't elected, who has no political authority at all, giving the governor's address to advertise this program.
Yeah.
That's exactly what the program, let's face it, that's what is designed to do, is to get these stories so that they could be promoted. And as you know, it's not relatively that expensive to go to CCRI. Some of the anecdotes you see of students whose parents are saying this changed our lives were students who were going to go to RIC or URI, and now they're going to go to CCRI for free. But if money was the issue, they could have gone to CCRI in the first place and saved thousands of dollars.
That's right.
So it's kind of understood in when you're trying to get people to do things or to buy things or to take things. Sometimes if you put a little bit of a price on it, it's a big barrier just because they have to make that decision. You know, I have to spend a nickel or a dollar on this, whereas if it's free, hey, I'll take it, whatever. I think that's a lot of what's happening here. And to me, the biggest problem, apart from the political abuse of the system, is that is distorting people's decision-making process, and it doesn't do anybody any service at all.
No.
What it makes me think of is at one point at the Center for Freedom and Prosperity, we had an employee who had come in from Arizona for a couple of years, and he would see spot things with, you know, sort of fresh eyes, and he would say, "Is that a picture of the mayor of Providence on a big bulletin board welcoming the circus to town. Yep, yep, that's how we do things.
Yes.
I think, I don't know if Cicilline started it or just picked it up. I think they're cleaning, their vans that go around cleaning or something, the city, and they've got, you know, cleaning crew brought to you by Mayor Cicilline. You know, we've been talking about the corrupt system, but that's how it is. Once you're in, you've got the entire resources of the state to manipulate and promote yourself. When really you should just give your address. It'll probably be kind of dull, you know, if you want to just talk about policy, but that's what you're supposed to be doing. And I just wish Rhode Islanders had more of a sense that this was wrong. I think we've become so jaded, and certainly in the news media, the story should have been, you know, governor abuses public money to pay for video. I mean, that's ought to be a regular story, and rather than just picking it apart a bit.
And you're right about the media as well, because it was several years ago. I kept raising the question: how could Diana Kelch be the host of Lively Experiment when you had Anthony Gemma going to challenge Cicilline in a primary, and she was being paid by the Cicilline campaign, and everyone in the media that I would raise this to would say, you make a very fair point, but no one would say anything. I did a story on it. She was dropped, or then they didn't renew her, I should say, as a consultant of the Cicilline campaign, and I've never been invited back on the Lively Experiment, even though now Hummel is the host. Justin, I also want to ask you before I let you go, are you hearing anything about potentially some progressive challenging Senator Sheldon Whitehouse in a primary? I know he's getting a lot of heat over this Burrable, the power situation. I'd like to know if you think if this could have legs to hurt him, or if you're hearing anything about whether or not, in fact, someone could end up actually challenging him in a primary.
No, I'm not hearing anything
okay.
in that regard.
Concrete.
I'd be kind of surprised if anybody did, because he does have national progressive creds, and a lot of the money and influence that comes in to promote the progressives locally is actually national money and influence. So I think that'll probably protect him for kind of trying to skirt the line on a Burrillville energy plant.
Yeah. You know, I think before I let you go, I think Rep. Bobby Natalillo, it didn't get a lot of play. I had him on, but I think the whole thing with Whitehouse, you know, he talks about race and everything else, and then, you know, where is he on the weekend? He's at the most exclusive club in Rhode Island, which is Bailey's Beach Club in Newport, which is a short distance from his Newport mansion. And according to Don Lillo, it's a whites-only club. I think it's one of those issues that it's very easy to understand. You know, obviously, different reasons people think it's political. They didn't pick up on it. Sometimes some of the minutia, which in legislation or, you know, cap and trade, that stuff can get complicated, but let's put it this way. If he were a Republican and a Democrat running against him, I would think it would be the news coverage would be much different on that story.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Bailey's Beach, I have, you know, being from the area, I have a few connections there. My wife worked as a bartender for a while, and at one point when I was in construction, I went there with a black coworker to deliver some stuff for one of our wealthier clients. And there was a kind of a vibe. I don't know if it's a whites-only club so much as they're just very super elite.
Yes.
And they don't associate with a lot of darker skinned working people. So when one's around, it's an awkward moment for them, I guess. But his elitism should, from the beginning, that was one of the things I've been watching for since he got in there. That ought to count against him. It ought to be relatively easy for another, whether a Republican or another progressive Democrat, to unseat him by playing that card, the white, blue collar, blue blood card.
Yeah. Folks, he's the managing editor of OceanStateCurrent.com. It's Justin Katz. Justin, excellent as always, and we'll talk to you again.
Thank you. Have a great week.
All right. Folks, there it is. Good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. Again, 846-1028. Now, coming up, I do want to talk about, I thought it was a tremendous rally last night. I thought the president was right on his game. I thought President Trump was terrific. There were some problems afterwards, but those were some of the counter-protesters. But that Trump rally last night, and again, if you're also on Facebook, you can join us on Facebook. It's John DePietro Show on Facebook. Maybe you're on Facebook and you're about to get in the car, you can turn your radio dial to the right-hand side, AM 1540. Or if you're listening in the car and then you're going to go home and you want to listen that way, you can also join and follow the program on Facebook Live. But I do want to talk about, I thought it was a big night last night for the president. I thought President Trump, he's in that arena. He is in that, you know, he's got his mojo going. I think ignore the media. He's great with those rallies. It fires him up. It keeps him focused. It keeps him in his game. He's in his powerhouse. He was under control last night. He didn't say anything too crazy. They did the teleprompters go, and he goes off script a little bit. But I find him wildly entertaining in that. And then you have Hillary Clinton, of course, making these she's now leaking portions of her book and trying to blame the loss on President Trump was standing behind her at the debate. I mean, I just think it was ridiculous. But we'll talk about that as well.
846-1028.
Here we go.
Give it a look. That's all it's own.
You know it.
Garage headquarters, 877-62-GARAGE.
Well, folks, somebody's got to be a leader for crying out loud, right? Let me ask you, the New England Patriots, are they just another team, or are they the best in the NFL? Well, that's what I mean, right? I mean commitment to excellence, dedication, quality. These are the characteristics of Garage Headquarters. Find them online, garageheadquarters.com. Remember, the best way, easiest way to improve the value of your home, an investment-grade door from Garage Headquarters. And listen, you have that beautiful lawn, maybe you put work into your home. How's the old garage door? Get rid of it with an investment-grade door from the leader.
Garage Headquarters, 877-62-GARAGE.
I'm going to make it very simple for you, okay? It's like blocking and tackling, like Belichick talks about, like Lombardi talked about. This is about more doors, more selection, best door price value. And when you've been in business longer, better technicians, more warehouses, more trucks on the road than any other company in Rhode Island and Southeastern Mass. This is about Team Grace making a decision in 1973 of dedication, of excellence. Started with Big Jim, and Scott Grace continues the family tradition today. 877-62-GARAGE.
Garage Headquarters, 877-62-GARAGE.
Hi, this is Art Brody, hoping you'll join me Sunday mornings at 7 for Art & Company. Each week we'll feature a special guest to fill you in on everything from programs and services available to area seniors to what's going on in the Newport Faith community to fun things to do at Newport's Ballard Park. Don't miss an action-packed minute. Join us for Art & Company, Sunday mornings at 7 on AM 1540 WADK.
Folks, remember Mega Disposal, local family-owned and operated trash recycling collection company. They've been serving Rhode Island and Massachusetts for almost two decades. You own a small business? Well, call Mega, M-E-G-A, for all your trash and recycling collection services. They have various sizes, estate cleanouts, major construction jobs, entire households. How about a swing door? Provide easy loading of materials. Now listen. Maybe it's time to clean out the garage, or maybe you're moving, or you're cleaning out the attic or the basement. Call Mega, and let's get a dumpster or two in the driveway. 866-420-MEGA. I had a friend of mine who's like, we're going to be cleaning out the garage and the basement. Looks like it's going to be about 50 trips to the dump. I said, what's wrong with you? Call Mega. No, it's not 50 trips to the dump. It's a dumpster in the driveway. It's faster. It's more efficient. Call them. They'll work out the delivery, and then they'll remove it. Call Mega Disposal today, 866-420-MEGA. And if you own a small business, they can work out a schedule for you, whether it's emptied on a weekly, every other week, or monthly basis. It's Mega Disposal. Folks, call them, 866-420-MEGA. 866-420-6342.
Broadcasting from the far right on your AM dial at 1540, The John DePietro Show.
And we're back. Good afternoon, one and all. It's Juan. It's John DePietro. This is the John DePietro Show. Here I am each afternoon, 1 to 5, right here on AM 1540, and it's WABK, where you can call in at 846-1028, 846-1028. That Powerball drawing, that is pretty amazing, isn't it? $700 million Powerball jackpot drawing here tonight, without question. I'm also looking at some of the headlines. Did you see the video of a bunch of people were on the Cape and a shark went after a whale? Went after a seal, and everyone's standing around as the shark then devoured the. Listen, that's the way it is. That's Wild Kingdom. I mean, that's what it's all about. That's what they do. That's who sharks eat. This time is unfortunate. It was a little close to shore and so forth, but that's basically exactly what happened. Now, President Trump last night, as much as maybe some people are going after him, and you know, we got people fired up. I thought he was on his game. The crowd absolutely loved it and could not get enough of it. And I don't think that the media is highlighting enough the fact that the trouble that was there was from the protesters. That's who was, in fact, causing the problems last night. So it was not the people that were peacefully attending the Trump rally. That's not what it was all about. Let's listen. This is ABC's Tom Lamas that talks about the Phoenix protests.
We were right there as police and riot gear advanced on demonstrators outside of President Trump's Phoenix rally. With moments of brief tension when protesters refused to leave the downtown area, officers wearing gas masks and armed with shields fired off tear gas. When demonstrators threw bottles and other projectiles, police used pepper spray to stop the assaults.
The Phoenix Police Department, they're marching through downtown Phoenix right now. They've put tear gas in the air. They're also macing some people.
Earlier, police were able to keep the peace as several thousand demonstrators showed up surrounding the convention center where President Trump held his rally. Phoenix police kept both sides separated, but it didn't stop protesters from heckling Trump supporters as they entered the rally.
Look at that.
The president's strong support here showed in the lines that wrapped around the convention center.
Yes.
Many waiting 10 to 12 hours to hear the president speak.
Now, why should the Trump supporters have to listen to those people heckling them, trying to start a fight? Those are the Cicilline supporters. Those are the Governor Raimondo supporters. Let's hear them criticize that. Why can't we, as Trump supporters, why can't we attend a rally with the president without being heckled in that way? Was anyone ever heckled when they were attending an Obama rally? I don't remember hearing anything about that. Now, have you heard Hillary Clinton with her audiobook that's coming out, where she is saying that one of the things that cost her the election was President Trump stood too close to her on the stage, and now in hindsight she should have said back up?
You stay calm, keep smiling, and carry on as if he weren't repeatedly invading your space? Or do you turn, look him in the eye, and say loudly and clearly, back up, you creep, get away from me. I know you love to intimidate women, but you can't intimidate me, so back up.
You want some cheese with that wine? My goodness. Boy, she loves to play the victim, doesn't she? Much like in 2008 when she lost to Obama and she started crying in the diner. Always the victim. You walked in front of his podium, you pathological liar.
No matter where I walked, he followed me closely, staring at me, making faces. It was incredibly uncomfortable. He was literally breathing down my neck. My skin crawled.
Yeah, I don't think his skin was feeling too good as he was standing so close to you on the stage. Either there, Sally. She is delusional. You never went to Michigan. You had the wrong campaign. You had the emails There were many reasons. You weren't a good candidate. That's why you lost. She is most comfortable being the victim. Period. That's what it was. But boy, that rally last night, as ABC's Matthew Dowd says.
That last night was a perfect example of how on the Mondays we see a mirage and on Tuesdays we see the true Donald Trump. And what we saw last night, I have to say, was the real Donald Trump.
Damn right, pal. You got that right. And we loved it. Right, folks? 846-1028. I don't care. You know, I heard some pathetic individual, I voted for him, but I regret it. Blah, blah, blah. Listen, you're talking about someone in charge. He's not backing down. All right, so we've had a couple of glitches here and there. But Kelly's running as the chief of staff. He's got that under control. We got that little punk in North Korea under control. It was pure leadership last night.
At a time in America where we're thirsty for healing and unity, Donald Trump arrived in the desert of Arizona with an overheated rhetoric and damaging divisions in
this.
It does nothing to help heal the country at this point in time.
Enough of that.
He's presiding over this, and he's only adding to this, only stoking the fires more and more.
What about the people outside? I thought he was great last night. That's what I thought. 846-1028. Armando from Warwick's on the John DePietro Show. Hello, Armando.
Good afternoon, John.
Good afternoon, Armando. How great was he last night?
Oh, he was spectacular.
He was. Awesome. President was on his game, big time.
I love how he mentions that both sides of the extremists were inciting violence.
That's right.
And how we can't blame
Not
more one than the other.
The media lied about it. That was very clear.
Bad press for them. They're looking to destroy him.
Yep, but it's not going
to
work.
Whatever they can. I keep seeing all these people claim that he's racist. Yet he's never said a racist remark. The daughter of Martin Luther King wanted to take a selfie with him.
Yep, that's right.
He received a reward for employing more minorities.
How about that?
Sounds like a pretty racist item to me.
Listen, that was some kind of rally last night. I mean, he brought his A game to Arizona, right, Armando? True or false?
No, his A plus game.
You're right,
game. With this momentum,
yep.
It's not all Donald Trump. The Democrats, we got to give them some credit. They are really helping his reelection. They're really. The Democratic Party
yep.
is the biggest recruiter for the Republican Party.
I like
because
that.
It's true, John.
Yep.
Anyone with some common sense and with a little bit of rationale behind their thinking would look at both parties and say, wow, these Democrats are really pushing me to be Republican.
That's right. Well, last night, I mean, that crowd, thank you for the call, Armando. They were absolutely behind him 100%.
Just so you know from the Secret Service, there aren't too many people outside protesting.
Yeah.
Okay. That I can tell.
He was exactly right. Folks, it's John DePietro. A lot more ahead. We're going to talk about the rally last night, the large crowds. I'll play you some of the sound. Thank you, Armando, of Hillary. We're going to take your phone calls. Listen, I am unabashed. That was great last night. The country needed it last night. They want people to come together. You saw people behind their leader. You saw a group. That was Americans last night rallying together. You had filth out on the street. You had filth that were trying to incite a riot. The hell with that crowd. No way. Trump all the way. 846-1028. We're just getting warmed up on this Wednesday.